Extremely Local News is sponsored by Great Lakes Credit Union, committed to financially empowering local communities. John Hansen, who does the Block Club Chicago podcast, with us now. And John, let's talk first about a day that, next to Record Store Day, is my favorite, Indie Bookstore Day. It's Saturday, isn't it?
I knew you'd have this one circled on the calendar, Bob, and where you'd start with that one. Odds makers put you as picking this one story first today. And yes, it's 55 bookstores participating this year, and you can do a little crawl of it all. And the more you go to, you can win some cool things as well. This has been going on since 2018. Obviously encouraging book lovers to support as many local shops as possible within one day. Discover some new ones. All of them have, I shouldn't say all of them, but I bet most of them have specials. But if you stop by 10 stores in a day, you'll get 10% off purchases at all participating bookstores, valid until next year's book crawl. So it's not just for that day, but that continues on. If you hit 15 stores, you get 15% off. So if you love books, what a good way to do this. Or if you're looking to maybe get into books a little bit more, you pick up a passport at any of the bookstores you want to go to at your first stop on Saturday. It gets stamped then at each location. You don't need any purchases to get that stamp, but obviously they hope you buy a book or maybe another item as well. So many different ones along the routes, and we've got them all covered at blockclubchicago.org. It's not just the city, suburbs too. It's Book Crawls also has a bike and even running options. I don't know about a running option, Bob, between bookstores for you and I, but perhaps a little bike ride would be fun too.
Yeah, I love hanging out in bookstores. Great to support those independent businesses. And I guess we were hearing for a while that they were struggling, but it seems like lately business has been better, and even the big chains seem to be coming back.
Yeah, you know, I think that there is that feeling of touching the book and fiddling your way through it that has come back a little bit. And in similar ways, I think, to vinyl, Bob. I think that there is something, I don't know whether it was the pandemic, the idea of just cuddling up in a corner or escaping the world for a little bit, that's very in right now. And I feel like, you know, on your phone or on a Kindle, and no problems with using those, but I think there is something about also displaying the books that have become more popular after a wave of minimalist interior design, Bob. I love books. Shelves and stacking as many of them as I can in my house. I think a lot of people like doing that now.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the restaurant news in Bridgeport.
This is Cowabunga Pizza Pie. Sean Rogers thought he had hung up his apron for good. He was a chef and a restaurant manager in Chicago. Really got burned out by the whole thing, but he decided when he started making pizza pies at home again, he kind of refound that joy. Not the complicated big dish menus items that he was making all the time from angry customers that were sitting down expecting so much, but instead someone just walking up being like, hey, I want that pizza pie, let me do it. He's a kid of the 90s, one of my own heart, and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were the big thing in the late 80s and 90s, the animated TV show, of course, and one of their signature things was a big floppy pizza pie, and that's what he's opened up at Bridgeport. He calls it Cowabunga, after the common name used by Michelangelo in the show, and he's got antique televisions, Nintendo consoles there. It's a small little place. It's mainly for people that walk on up, and instead of dining on in, he's got a different pizza named after all the different turtles and the enemies of the turtles as well. The Raphael, $7 for a big old large slice, is a sausage mushroom, pickled red onion, and jalapeno, and it's got other ones too. But I like the look of the place, a little vintage, and it's starting to catch on in Bridgeport. And most importantly, Bob, it's in a place that had been vacant for 10 years, right? Why not try something new? Used to be a taco stand, stood there empty in Bridgeport for 10 years, and now it's this pizza joint at 1117 West 31st Street.
Well, he must know what he's doing because he worked at the Berghoff for a while.
Yeah.
One of the great Chicago staples here. This is interesting, and maybe you can explain this, John. Why exactly is Block Club Chicago having a Mustacelli investigation?
Oh, boy. We've been Lindsay Rice has been working on this story for, I think, 9 months. I'm not kidding about Mustacelli, because, you know, it's that popular dish that all Chicagoans are pretty used to, whether it's at a graduation party or a funeral, right? You're going to see the fried chicken, the Italian beef, and the Mustacelli.
Yeah, big trade.
We all thought that was mozzarella was just a very ubiquitous thing to Italian food, but it is very much a regional food item here in Chicago. You go to the East Coast, they don't know mozzarella. They might know baked ziti, but in Chicago, we do a little differently. So Lindsay Rice went through, I started reading this article 2 days ago, I'm still reading it, Bob, the entire history of why mozzarella is the way it is, whether it's the penne with the ridges or whether you use the smooth penne and why that all is. But I can sum up basically why Chicago is the home to it, because the wave of Italian immigration into the United States started with northern Italy into New York. The southern Italians, broadly speaking, came to the Midwest, and they came a little bit later. And the southern Italians had these big, more baked pasta dishes. And Lindsay dove through, I'm not kidding, Bob, newspapers from not only Chicago, but Wisconsin, Minnesota, Missouri, to find out the very first mentions of mozzarella. And she was able to dive into St. Louis Dispatch articles, quoting an inexpensive dish to cut your market bill back in 1917, to finally in Chicago, commercial advertisement messages in the 1937 ad in the Chicago Tribune as when it first landed in Chicago. So it's a really deep dive. I mean, really deep dive into all things mozzarella. But really, Bob, I thought mozzarella was a national thing or like a worldwide thing. I didn't realize that was a dish that we could kind of call our own.
Yeah, I never heard that either. You know, I'm reading the Block Club Chicago report on this, that 1937 Chicago Tribune ad for the Monte Cristo Italian restaurant at 645 North St. Clair. And they've got to mention here the new delicious mozzarella dinner, $1, bottle of wine included. Let's head over there for lunch today, see if they'll still honor that offer.
And Landecker was there that day it opened up, so yeah. He had the first mozzarella dish in Chicago. He
did a remote boogie check that night, I remember. John Hansen, and he'll be on Your Money Matters tonight at 6. You got to change the name of that show because of what's happening with the markets. Instead of Your Money Matters, maybe you want to call it Where Did Your Money Go? And then, you know, you can report on what's happening.
Yeah, I like that. Where'd your money go today?
Yeah.
Maybe where's don't listen today. Tomorrow? No, that may not go as well, but I'll come up with something. Oh, by the way, Bob, really quickly, blockclubchicago.org/eats. We have a food and drink newsletter. Since we talked about mozzarella, I thought I'd give him a shout out.
Yes, that is a good addition to the food scene and restaurant scene around here. Thank you, John.
Take care.